Well, good morning, church.
Good morning.
Good morning, mothers. Good morning, mothers. All right, that's better. Some of you may need to do, I hope, now listen, if you haven't, I hope, and you have the opportunity, I hope, that you will today get a hold of your moms and say, Mom, guess what? She won't know it now. I love you. Just let her know you love her. She's precious, precious to you. Now, some of you want to do this with me. Some of you right now want to look up, say, I love you, Mom. Some of you want to look up and say, I love you, Mom. Now, my mom's not listening. She's probably up there right now telling Jesus how he ought to make men better. Well, I can see your tickle bone's already turned over today, and I'm not getting anywhere, so let's just go ahead. And you turn in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 31. I already knew where we were going, so I already got there. And the sermon title is The Price of a Woman. Did you ever give that thought? The price of a woman. The price of a virtuous woman. Verse 10. Who can find one like that? He asked the question. By the way, the guy that's posing this is, other than Jesus Christ, probably the smartest man that ever walked the face of the earth. Solomon was a very, very intelligent man because he had God-given knowledge. Einstein was a gifted man in math. There are other great men of wisdom. I guess Trump is a wise man in money affairs. He got plenty of it. I've been trying to convince him that he could loan me some, but he hadn't. I'm just kidding. Okay. And this wise man poses the question. By the way, if you really want to get an insight to this man, read the next book, the book of Ecclesiastes, and you get a revelation of this guy, Solomon. And he concludes life like this. He says, vanity of vanities, all is vanity and vexation of the spirit. So perhaps he's concluding the book of Proverbs with what he will consider to be the wrap-up, that which is the most important to be seen. You know, they say that you save that which you want to be heard for sure till last, so that it's the last thing that men grasp. You know, Jesus did that. You know that, don't you? In Matthew 28, verse 19, 18, yeah, like I said, verse 18, he says, all power is given to me in heaven and in earth. And I'm now with that authority telling you something. I want you to go into all the world and preach the gospel. You make disciples out of every nation on the planet earth. You teach them to observe everything I have commanded you. I skipped out something. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Teaching them to observe all the things that I've commanded you. And then he says, with that power, he presents in verse 18. Then he says, and I will be with you. The most secure place, the most sure place in all the world is that place where Jesus Christ is with you. So if you have to go to dark Africa to know his presence, go. If you have to go to China to know his presence, go. If you have to be Elisa, be Elisa at Ridgecrest Assembly, whatever they call that place, in Ridgecrest, North Carolina. We had a summer missionary named Lisa with us. Now, this was long enough ago that young lady was saying what she didn't know she was saying. She went forward in the Sunday morning worship service and said, God has called me to be a missionary to Russia. Now, you just couldn't do that. There wasn't any way. Now you can be. You see, we don't have to see, we don't have to know. We just have to do what God wants us to do. We studied that this morning, by the way, in our Bible study. Oh, by the way, time out. Now, if you're here this morning and you are not a regular participant, a studier in the Bible study on Sunday morning, you're robbing yourself. Don't cheat yourself like that. Don't cheat me either, by the way. You can cheat you and get by me quicker than you can cheat me. But, you see, when you study the Word of God and you meditate on it and the Holy Spirit begins to teach you the Word of God, well, then you're ready to worship. Amen? I wish old Steve was here. He'd say, amen. Okay. I want you to know, that's the gospel truth. If you're not preparing for worship, you know, it's just so automatic. We look at the Word of God. The Holy Spirit teaches the Word of God. We come in here and we begin to praise the Lord. By the way, I want to talk to you right after church. Okay? That was great. This morning was great. Don't blush like that. I was going to compliment you. Okay. Now, so that's the introduction. The value of a virtuous woman. Just what's she worth anyway? I hope you know. But because Solomon said her price, her value is worth far more than rubies. Now, all of you single folks, listen to me. Of all the things that you do not want to cheat yourself of in life is right here. As you began to listen to your heart and to listen to your desires, and you begin to look for a mate. Guys, do not accept anything short of a priceless woman. Now, I've seen pretty women. I've done weddings for pretty women, and it didn't last. After they promised me, almost on hands and knees, we got down and prayed about it. This is going to be forever. I can't tie loose knots. But it didn't last that long because the woman wasn't priceless. Just wasn't priceless. What is her value? Far above that of rubies. And here is the real value. Listen, what makes her so priceless? Dear, well, I'm going to quit talking to you if you're not going to listen. What are you reading there anyway? I love you because you're so priceless. She is. Are you aware that nobody, a few years, over 60 years, she's hung right in there. I'm not sure anybody else could. And if they had, they would not mean to me what she means to me today. She knows I love her. I tell her that every morning. You guys heard that, didn't you? Ladies, make them stick with it. That's the value. That's the pricelessness of a woman. Her husband trusts in her. Wow. Hey, guys, if you're married, turn to her and say, I trust you. How sweet that is. Okay, now, I'm going to go fast because Solomon makes so many vital points in this 31st chapter of Proverbs. Then her vineyard, look at verses 12. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. That's all she lives for. She just lives to hold up her husband. She just lives to bless her husband. She just lives to honor her husband. She just lives to walk beside of her husband. She just lives to get on down the road with this wonderful journey that she's on with the man that God's given her. She does him good in all the days of her life. You know, real love never wears out. It really doesn't. It gets sweeter as the days go by. It really does. And after a while, with that mate that God's given you, and you're going down life's road, and you get so acquainted with her, you can look over at her and read her mind. Peggy and I could be in a room, I mean a big room full of a lot of people, and I'll look across the room at her, and she can lift this eyebrow and speak two paragraphs and never open her mouth. Now, sometimes she can do it in about 2 seconds. Now, you wouldn't believe this, and it never happens anymore, but there was a time when she'd look over at me, and she just kind of bat her eyes, and she said, "Get away from that woman." I know how I look now, but she could do that, didn't you, babe? And sometimes, in less time than it took her to say, "Get away from that woman," or "Get that woman away from you," she'd say, "I'm ready to go home." Never opened her mouth, just. That's what it's all about. You know her. She knows you. In fact, sometimes she'll say, "Now, why did you look at me like that?" "Well, because I wanted to tell you something." "Well, it didn't do you any good." "No." What that way? Okay. Verse 12. And then look at verse 18 in this same chapter. And she perceives that her merchandise is good, and her lamp goes not out by night. Wow. Have you ever heard this old saying? I've had it quoted to me several times. You know, people have this concept that preachers are lazy. And they seem to want to pass this on to me. A man's work is from sun to sun. You heard the other part? A woman's work is never done. Eh, boy, you know, that is the most vivid description. That's the most vivid picture of my mom. My mom raised 7 of us kids by herself. My dad, during the Great Depression, couldn't handle it. And he split and left mom with absolutely nothing but a will and a willingness. And she raised 7 of us kids. And it's amazing. It's amazing. She gave all of us the education that we would take. Some of us didn't want to take it all, but she gave us all the education we'd take. She encouraged us all the way. She always was right there. Let me give you a perfect description of my mom. I'm just paying tribute to her. I should. My mom would raising us 7 kids, and various citizens in the community would say, "Clara," you perceive that's my mom's name, "Clara, you can go get on welfare, help with these kids. If we ever need it, we will. But right now, we don't need it." Well, I thought, hey, if this is a handout, I'll take it, but mom wouldn't take it. Okay, now, let's go on quickly. I want you to see her vitality. If you ever ask yourself, how in the world does this woman do all this? I think God made women that way, you know. I think they're sort of designed. Look at verse 13. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. Look again at verse 14. She is like a merchant ship. She brings her food from afar. I mean, she's filled with vitality. Look at verse 15. She also rises while it's yet night and provides food for her household. This is a woman filled with vitality. Now, I want to tell you something, gals. You're all, from my, and I have a better vantage point than you. All of you are beautiful. You really are. But when that's gone, now hopefully it never will. Peggy's more beautiful now than she was when she was 2. All of you are beautiful, but when that's gone, if it's gone, I want to tell you, there's still a value to you. There's still a vitality to you. Come on with me to verse 19 now again. She stretches out her hands to the distaff, and her hands hold the spindle, and she extends her hands to the poor. This is a lady who's filled with vitality. But let's go on. Let's go to verse 22 now and see her visibility. Don't know quite which side of this I want to run up on. Maybe, let's see. Okay, let's see if we can do it this way. A woman is visible. Some of them draw attention to themselves and are very visible, in my opinion, for the wrong reason. Some of them, you notice. Oh, God. Let me think just a minute. It takes a little while for me to recount. Okay, in 1961, we went to a meeting at a church. And we sat over about where you're sitting. And sitting right over about here was a lady. And I looked across at that lady and I said to my wife, this lady stood about 6'2". Probably weighed close to 200, 180 to 200 pounds. And she had her hair rolled. What do you do that? Is it a bun? So tight that her eyes, forehead was up, way up. Eyebrows were halfway up. And I said to Peggy Lorraine, you know, she was a young, beautiful, feisty little thing, and I said to her, that's got to be the ugliest woman sitting right over there I've ever seen in my life. I mean, Gussie Jones, now Gussie's listening today. She likes to hear me tell this. And she's got to be the ugliest woman I ever saw. And the second look made her look worse. 6 months later, Peggy was picking apples in Gussie and Aubrey's apple orchard. Now, here's an insight to Peggy. You'll need to know this. She is one smooth apple picker. If you can pick 50 bushel of apples per day, you are really doing good. And her goal was 75. When I go pick her up every afternoon, I'd help her finish out the 75 bushels of apples, and we'd go on. And at that apple orchard, Gussie would be invariably witnessing to someone. She had a little track. You're the apple of Jesus' eye. And all kind of little tracks like that. And people would come in to buy apples. And before they even had a clue what was going on, Gussie was telling them about Jesus. And I'd stand there and listen. And she'd say, now, oh, you're from Garden City. Listen, old Ray Babb is pastor down at Merriman Road Baptist Church in Garden City. I want you to, can I just call him up and tell him all about you, that you got saved today, and he'll come visit you. And Jimmy Jones is pastor downriver Detroit at Trinity. Listen, he'll be just happy to visit you. You just need to grow. Don't you really want to grow? And she had another little track with an apple tree on it, about this tall and about this tall, and you know, and the last one had apples on it. Don't you want to get to the place where you are producing for Jesus, who loved you and saved you? And you're just always witnessing. In about a year, that became one of the prettiest women I ever saw. Now, I want you to know, I told Gussie all about that one day, as she and Aubrey were feeding Peggy and I our lunch at the apple orchard. You see, her beauty, her visibility went beyond the great big nose she had, the tight bun she had, the high eyebrows she had. It went right down to her soul. She was a beautiful person. You could see Jesus in her. By the way, what does the Bible say about that? It is Jesus, your hope of glory. Ladies, let me encourage you. Always love Jesus more than you love your husband. You heard that, didn't you? And by the way, men, the Bible doesn't tell women to do that. I think God just assumed they were smart enough to know it. But the Bible says this to you guys. Now, ladies, sharpen up your elbow here. Get it good and ready. Draw it back. Men, in Ephesians chapter 5, the Bible says this. Men, husbands, love your wives. How much? As much as Christ loved the church. How much did Christ love the church? He gave himself for the church. He died for it. He shed his blood for it. Guys, you just love your wife so much, she can't resist you. Now, that's speaking a little bit of carnality, I know. But I want to tell you something. If you hadn't found out that part about you and your wife, wake up! Now, she's very visible. She's, by the way, she's visible. Did you notice she's visible at the marketplace where she buys groceries? Do you think she shops that wisely? Or is that saying that she's one of those persons that when she goes by the cashier, she says, God bless you. You have a great day. I just hope your life gets better every day. Now, there's not a thing in the world, ladies, that can keep you from saying that. Is there? Is she visible? If she has a secular job and she goes to work and everybody knows her as being a gentle person, a sweet person, a caring person. Is she visible when she comes to church? Listen, ladies, don't try to hide at church. The church needs you. If we had only the looks of these guys to go on, we'd be bankrupt in a hurry. Is she visible when she goes to church? And there's just something about her that says, my sister loves Jesus. Is she visible in her social life? You know, the one place, listen to me carefully, the one place that the beauty and the visibility of a woman ought to stand out more than any other place is in her social life. You have a better opportunity to portray Jesus Christ in your very soul in your social life, or you have the opportunity to make him ashamed. It's up to you. How visible are you? Then I want to come down. Is it all right if I get through a little bit early this morning? Oh, all right, the dollar's gone. Look at verse 30. Charm is deceitful. I like it anyway, don't you? Beauty is in... Wait a minute. I've got to read it. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing. That means it don't last forever. But watch this. But a woman that fears the Lord. The number one question to ask you this morning is this. Dear lady, do you fear the Lord? If you fear the Lord, you're a perfect example for your children. If you fear the Lord, you're a perfect example for your husband. If you fear the Lord, you're a perfect mate for your husband. If you fear the Lord, you're a perfect parent. Or you say, well, nobody's perfect. Well, I will argue with you about that. God made you to be a perfect wife. He made you to be a perfect mom. He made you to be a perfect community member, a perfect church member. And you need, like I need, and like all of us need, to be at it. So, that beauty will pass away. Now, I have the advantage over all of you. None of you can see all of you like I can see all of you all the time from here. But I have that advantage. And you're beautiful. But it'll sure pass. Peggy Lorraine never does. But my mom used to just, oh my goodness, I can't do anything with this hair anymore. Oh my goodness, I can hardly get around anymore. I don't know what she's supposed to do after four strokes. But anyway, you know, I can just hardly get around anymore. She's always kindly on that negative vernacular. But she was a virtuous woman. Look at her virtue. My mom set the example for seven kids. Let me tell you about the last one in closing now. My oldest brother, when he was 17, back when World War II broke out, went into the Navy. And he retired after 30, I don't know, two or three years later, he retired from the Navy. And we always gathered around the table in the evening, and Mom would read the scriptures, and we would pray, and we never left Donald out. He always was in our prayers. Mom would pray for him and pray for him. But Navy life wasn't, well, I don't know what it was, but anyway, he come out of the Navy retiring an alcoholic, and he practiced that as vehemently as he could. And just really, really wasted what life he had left. I won't go into all the details of what happened to him because of his drinking and the hotel burning down on him and things like that. But anyway, Peggy and I lived in Pennsylvania, and he lived over in Michigan. And late one afternoon, God said, I want you to go visit your brother. And I said, when? He said, right now. I want you to go visit him. And I'm going to skip through some stuff, but I went by Flint, Michigan, picked up my brother, went over to Davison, Michigan, Lapeer, Michigan, and visited with my brother early in the morning. We drove all night long to get over there. And early in the morning, we went over there to visit him. Sat down. After about 3 minutes, I said, Bud, this is not just a social visit. He said, I know it. Well, that kind of caught me by surprise because I had tried to witness to him before and got nowhere. I know it. So I said, well, since you know it, let me get started. And I shared Jesus with him. And at the end of that sharing Jesus, I invited him to pray with me and invite Jesus into his heart. By the way, do you know that's all you have to do? You just have to pray and ask Jesus to come into your heart. Confess to him that you love him. Confess to him that you appreciate so much. He died for you, gave himself for you, and only ask that you believe in him. You profess that, and the Bible says, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And he did. Here's what I want to get to with my mom now. This is on a Saturday. And so he said, I want to be baptized. That always kind of blessed me. Most people that get saved do not resist being baptized. They want to be baptized. Jesus set that example. Jesus taught that example. And all of us who have been know it's a great blessing just to obey Jesus. So we went back to Flint, Michigan. Well, really, Clio, Michigan. Went back to Clio and got the baptistry ready at my brother's church where he was a deacon and a lay preacher and called the whole family. And they came in from Illinois and everywhere else. And we had the church half full of the Smith clan and my mom was there. And Peggy and our grandkids were there. And they was right down there on the second row with my mom, and when he came forward and made a profession of faith public, and that always helps. You know, when you go forward and you make a profession of faith public, and everybody knows, you've kind of made a commitment public, and you're more prone to stick with it, plus you're honoring Jesus. You confess me before me, and I will confess you before my Father, and I submit to you. There's nothing greater in all of eternity that can help you or bless you like God confessing you. Almighty God, Creator God, Supreme God, Holy God, saying, my child, woo! Now, if that don't hit you tickle bone, your tickle bone dies. Okay. Now, and Donald kept saying to my brother Walt, as they sat right back there, is it time yet? I told him. He'd never been to church much. And I told him, you know, when we give an invitation, you want to come forward, and I'll tell the congregation you've been saved, and we'll baptize you. Okay. Is it time yet? Is it time yet? And finally, Walt said, listen, I'll grab you by the hand and drag you up there when it's time. And here he came. Here they came. And Mom sat right over there, and she had her hanky out. Now, this is days gone by. Some of you may be old enough. I don't know. I may doubt it. But, you know, there was a time when women got their hankies out, and they popped their hallelujah, glory to God, praise Jesus. And Mom was doing that, and all the grandkids was elbowing Peggy and said, "What's wrong, Granny? What's wrong, Granny? What's going on with Granny?" Well, Granny was just happy. You reckon it was because for years, 30-something years in the Navy, she'd prayed for him? Do you reckon it's because she wondered at times, old as he's getting, as banged up as he's getting, as crippled as he's getting, is he ever going to get saved? But he was. And she just, and I couldn't help it. I might have drowned him, but anyway, I couldn't help it. When I took him down into the water, I held him there a little bit and looked over, and Granny's still with it. I didn't know she had that much vitality, but she did. And she had that much virtue. Listen. Women are the spiritual example of this nature. You know that? You watch the Super Bowl. You watch the all-star football game. And they introduce these big old 350 and 60-pound guys that look like they could bite a nail in two or bite your head off. "Hi, Mom." If one of those dudes ever says, "Hi, Dad," I think I'm going to pass out. In fact, Peggy got the biggest, nicest spray, or what do you call that thing, of roses and some other flowers, I don't know, yesterday for Mother's Day. One year, she got passes or whatever you call them for dinner. They were nice enough, and you know, they wanted to have a real good dinner, so she and I both ate off of them. But anyway, she got roses. She got all kinds of good things. Yeah, that was a good year. I just couldn't wait, because Father's Day's, you know, it's coming soon, guys. Now, don't be surprised if you don't get roses or dinner passes. In fact, that same year, I got two collect calls and an IOU for Father's Day. Well, that wasn't bad. One of them didn't even bother to contact me. Mothers are the spiritual power of this nation. It ought not to be that way. That's not what the Bible says. Let me share this with you. I'll just run down the itinerary. Where'd I go with it? Anyway, okay, I can do it by memory. My home church, a little church in the cotton fields of Arkansas. A preacher came from college in the summer, and in the schoolhouse started a revival, and enough people got saved that they started a church, and my mom and Aunt Bess Sanders, who was no relation to me, just known as Aunt Bess Sanders, and a couple other ladies went through our community taking up collections of quilts, canned goods, chickens, lumber, whatever they could get, nails, whatever they could get, to build a church building. And built a church building. The church I grew up in, the church I got saved in, the church I got was baptized by, and the church that ordained me when I went off to share the Word of God. That was those ladies. When I was in Michigan, I got a phone call one morning, and it was Charlotte Morrison. And she lived at Skidway Lake, if you know anything about Michigan, up by West Branch. Everybody up there in that county called it Skid Row Lake. It was kind of the outcast community of that county. And Charlotte said, "I was at a funeral down in Pontiac, and the guy down there that did the funeral said, you'd help me start a church here. And there's a strong, vital Baptist church in Skidway Lake, Michigan today because Charlotte Morrison helped start it. Over at Statewood Baptist Church, Mrs. Hollinsworth and her husband moved here years and years and years and years, years ago from Missouri. And there was no church in their community. And Mrs. Hollinsworth started a vacation Bible school for kids in her community at the picnic table and the back porch of her house. And today they're Statewood Baptist Church. Now, I don't know that it's so, Randy, but Statewood claims to be the grandma of us all Baptist churches here in Fort Wayne, in this area. Well, could be. I can tell you that story over and over and over again. Women were the backbone of starting a church. Women were the backbone of making sure that Bible school went on. You know, there's not a thing in the book that says a man can't teach Bible school just as good as a woman. Is there? Now, I think that's in Jude chapter 2, but it tore out of my Bible, so I haven't read it yet. Listen, a virtuous woman, who can find? Her price is far above that of rubies. Why, she has great value. She has a vineyard. She has a purpose. She has a plan. She has a vitality. To be honest with you guys, they can work us to death. She has a visibility. And there's a virtue about her that says, here is a lady that loves Jesus, and here is a daughter to God. I trust that you are, dear lady, a virtuous woman. I trust, gentlemen, that you appreciate that lady. God has been so good to God's been so good to you to give you one that you have. And you love her as Jesus loves the church and has given himself for her. She's first. She's number one. Now, I'm trying to think of a way to wrap this up, but if you're here this morning, and I guess I'll do it this way. If you're here this morning and you're not altogether sure that your relationship with Jesus Christ is all that it ought to be, then let me challenge you. You this very morning, make it all that Jesus wants it to be. In a moment, we're going to extend an invitation. You're going to have an opportunity to come. You can sit on one of the front pews. You can kneel right here at this altar and just commit yourself anew to Jesus, to be all that Jesus made you to be, that he wanted you to be, to your husband, to your family, to your community. You just make that commitment to your church, to Jesus. Now, if you're here this morning, I've been talking totally out of bounds for you. You don't have a clue as what I'm talking about. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, but I want you to know this, male or female, young or old, Jesus wants you to know him. He loved you so much. My, he gave himself for you, that you could have a life that lasts forever and that is filled with joy unspeakable and full of glory, and that is with him every day. We're going to stand together. Do we have an invitation song? You can